Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Beep it up, boop it up, bop it up, bop, 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 boop it up, boop.
Hey.
Beep it up, boop it up. We going?
We're going, baby.
Beep it up, beep it up, beep it up, boop it up, beep it up, listener dear. Greetings, bop it up, boop it up, boop it up, delight greetings. Sorry,
we're that was your...
there you
no,
go.
No, we're leaving all of that in.
Well, listener dear, welcome to another house meeting. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And beep it up, boop it up, I am Matthew. And welcome.
Oh, boy.
Welcome indeed, as Tom said. Now, fun episode today. We get through a lot of vitally important issues of the day.
Absolutely right.
We really do.
But we've got a few messages, and I'm really enjoying this. Do you remember, again, the talking about people whose names sound like a thing? Like, we had Charity Night, and we had Wind Chimes recently. There's a real purity to Guy's message here. Guy got in touch via pappiesflatshare@gmail.com. Please do get in touch, guys. I went to school with a Tom Bowler. Love it.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's great.
Tom Bowler. Yes, please. I love that. I hope he was allowed to run the raffle. Right. Well, we'll crack on with the episode. All that remains to say is that we're doing a live on Zoom Pappy's Flat Share tomorrow, guys. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out,
treat.
Yes, we've got two absolutely stonking guests.
Well, three, haven't we? We've got
got three guests. Yeah, you know, we've got Josh Widdicombe. That's one guest. We've got Sarah Pascoe, and Sarah Pascoe is bringing along her own flatmate. A real-life flatmate, Steen Raskopoulos, also a fantastic comedian.
What a power team.
Very, very funny. It's going to be a great show. So
we had a lovely time last time doing a live Zoom recording, so please do come and join us. Here's how.
Yes, if you go to our Twitter, that's always a good way to find the tickets, at Pappy's Tweet on Twitter. You can find the tickets there. If not, go to Eventbrite, which is eventbrite.co.uk, and search for Pappy's Flatshare, and you should be able to find the tickets there. So... very exciting. And if you also as well, if you're enjoying these episodes, we urge you to join the Patreon as well, where we're putting out bonus episodes every single day. Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. They're really great.
Come along and join us. But otherwise, enjoy today's house meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I watched an interview this morning on BBC News.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a politician, and they'd put, like, a picture on their radiator as their background.
Were they chained to it?
No.
Is it Terry Waite?
Why are they being interviewed by a radiator?
Terry Waite for No Man. They were on Zoom.
They chose...
Was it a high radiator?
What, that Terry Waite was...
No. This Tory MP was sat by a radiator. Was it a high radiator, or were they sat by...
Because they sat on the floor. That's the only... trying to think of, like, why the radiator would be...
They were sat on a chair, and the radiator was behind them, and they put a picture on their radiator.
Oh, on top of it? I thought you meant, like, hung on it.
Yeah, I thought you'd sort of stuck a poster on it. Yeah.
Like, because it was on their radiator, it was like, it's just, that's not normally there, right? You don't put your pictures on your radiator.
No,
unless you've got a radiator cover.
But even so, I think if you've got a radiator cover, but then it needs to be one of those sort of big, almost that look like a mantelpiece, you know, like a big wooden radiator that looks like a mantelpiece that's built all around your radiator. But even then, you know, the heat's going to be rising. That's what heat does. We know that from our science lessons. The heat's going to be rising straight through the wood, straight into the picture frame. It might discolour the photograph.
It might damage the print.
It's a mottled print.
You can have a mottled print. Thank you, Thomas.
Yes.
Well, here's the big question, Tom. What was in the frame? Because was it a poster saying, please don't put anything on this radiator?
It was a thermometer.
Are you sure it wasn't the thermometer? You sure it wasn't them telling you how much money they'd recently raised for the church roof? You can be confused. I saw one on a church roof. I thought, there's no way I'm getting that on my anus.
Oh, but you gave it a good go.
I gave it the best shot I could.
He managed it.
It was a sponsored event, and he raised money to save the church roof. So
he bloody raised the roof.
Yeah. A confusing event, but one that pleased some people.
Yeah, me specifically.
Yes, but not all. I mean, the church were up in arms.
Well, I'm banned from the church. And I'm like, that roof belongs to me. And they're like, well, you can go on the roof, mate, but you can't come inside.
What, like a protest in prison?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you're up there during the sermon.
I'm up there throwing tiles down at the screws. Yeah, we always talk about this, don't we?
Right. Prison style.
Prison style.
But my question to you is, if obviously it's like...
Well, you're not going to answer Clarkie's question.
What was that?
What was the picture?
What was it? What was the picture?
Well, it was a picture of... someone.
Okay, right, okay, sure, like a family photo maybe.
So, no, right,
no, it was like a print.
It wasn't
their family.
Okay,
right, but like it just made me think, like, that was what they'd chosen, you know, with these Zoom background kind of things. If you could pick one thing to define you, to put in your background, what would it be?
If you had to pick something that would define who you are.
Yeah, like, well, like, think about it. You're about to go on BBC News, and it's like, put something behind you that's like, you know, that's going to say, it's going to send out a clear message about what's going on here.
If I'm going to go on BBC News, I'd like to put my past behind me. That'd be the first thing I'd like to put behind me, because...
Yeah, but you don't want it on display.
You don't want to see it.
Not a photo of it.
You don't want it on display. Oh my God, imagine.
What's he doing to that thermometer?
Listen, I raised a lot of money.
Like a Bayer tapestry. Oh, God. Oh, that makes me feel sick. Imagine a Bayeux tapestry of your life, and people can walk along it before they meet you. That's kind of a bit like what Facebook or Instagram might be, actually, for the youths of today. You know,
that's a good lesson. Yeah, you can scroll back through somebody's, because occasionally, I don't know if this ever happens to you. You don't really use Instagram, do you, Parry? You don't use it.
I wouldn't know where to start.
Wouldn't know where to start. No, but occasionally you might wake up in the morning. And overnight, the elves of Instagram have been, and they have judiciously liked every photo of, say, for example, your cat from the last 3 years.
Just for example.
And it can be quite a creepy thing. But I guess that's what people do, isn't it? They go back. Instagram as well feels quite contained, isn't it? You know, you're not necessarily uploading a photograph every day. If you were to go back through Facebook or Twitter or something like that, it would be impossible to sort of dredge through everything.
I mean, the idea I like about it being the Bayeux tapestry is there's room for misinterpretation in the tapestry, isn't there? Like, because it's only done by needlework, like when you look at the Bayeux tapestry, some of it's due to interpretation. Like, what's going on there?
Absolutely.
She seems to have stumbled on a milk churn and he's, you know, doing that, and it's kind of like, I didn't mean that in a rude way, I think they might be going on a hunt, and like, exactly. I think like there, it's like if a particularly unsavory scene from your past was rendered in needlework, you might be able to pass it off as like, no, look, I was picking it up.
Exactly. We can just assume this is the time that Matthew scaled a large glass totem pole and sat on the top of it. We don't need to worry about...
That's merely an early design of a pogo stick that he was working on.
Exactly.
He was working on it, all right.
The reason he's on that church roof is because he was reading, you know, he was doing a performance about the Great Flood or something. Move on.
Very... Can I ask where the pogo stick went? Because it seems to have disappeared
We certainly won't know where it goes.
The next one here is coughing up glass. That's a weird photo.
No one knows where the pogo goes.
So I think the way you do it as well, Parry, if you wanted to make this a reality, is you'd then have it in
Bayeux tapestry of your life.
Bayeux tapestry of your life, yeah. You'd then have it in your hallway, wouldn't you?
And you live in a house that's one long hallway and then a bedsit.
Yes.
And you'd be like, why does nobody ever make it into my bedsit?
they get to the 20s and think, fuck this.
They'd get into the period of my life I like to call the roaring 20s. I'd build a fire exit into the hallway halfway through my roaring 20s to give people an option out.
Straight out the roaring fire exit. But to talk about the picture that would sum you up, do you remember back in the day when poor old Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross made that prank phone call to Andrew Sachs that he made, and they got fired?
I remember it well.
A little bit of fun that backfired on
exactly.
them.
Exactly. It's very hard to judge tone of voice when you're speaking out loud, isn't it? Yeah. So the thing that, because Russell Brand then had to go on the news and have sort of not, you know, in the way that like no one really apologizes anymore. He was doing one of those.
He was one of the early adopters of that stance. He was the doing kind of, yeah, I'm sorry apology for the offense video that it where called, they kind of not for the thing that I've actually done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm sorry if you felt I insulted you.
I'm sorry that there are some people who might have thought that was offensive. Yeah. I'm truly sorry.
I'm sorry if you think me sitting on a thermometer is inappropriate.
Actually, I've raised a lot of money for the church, so shut your mouth.
Speaking about things backfiring.
So he was in a sort of a plain room, but he'd framed a small picture and put it just above his head of Joseph Stalin. And
go.
I thought, that is very telling to have to go on the news to explain what you're doing. And I thought, that's him basically saying, I mean, what's he saying really? That we're living in a Stalinist society where you can't harass an old man as a form of entertainment?
You can't even harass a man on the national airways these days.
No, exactly. The British Broadcasting Corporation.
The thumb coming down.
Yeah.
So is that your answer then to that? You put Stalin behind.
No, him. I would have a picture of Russell Brand in front of a picture of Stalin.
Oh!
There we go. I've inceptioned it, basically.
Rendered as a tapestry.
Yeah, absolutely. Rendered as a little cross stitch just behind me, yeah.
Oh, your nickname?
My nickname, Little Cross Stitch, of course. Yeah, it's my rap name.
Little Cross Stitch, Little Cross. Oh, my God. And then you'd rap over the top of that.
Russell Brand.
My God.
Joseph Stalin.
Do you think I could do a rap version of Little Donkey?
I mean, I don't think it's advised. I mean, put it this way. I think if you do it, it's going on your tapestry.
That's going on your permanent tapestry, I'm afraid.
I tell you, I like that as a phrase. That's going on the tapestry.
It's both a positive and a negative, isn't it?
Oh, my God. That New Year's Eve party is definitely going on your tapestry, mate. It's quite a nice
phrase. I was there, Parry, and it was. It's permanently etched on my tapestry.
So a Bayeux tapestry of one's life is pretty audacious a thing to put behind you when you go on to the news as an interview. Oh God!
I think anything that's to do with yourself, like I think actually, to a certain extent, putting up photos, because I'm looking around my room now, I can see I've got photos up of my wedding day, very very happy day, one of the happiest days of my life. But it is quite strange to have photographs of your. Is it quite strange to have photographs of yourself up in your bedroom? I tell you, well, wait, worse than this. I was on a Zoom chat recently. It was a big Zoom, a Zoom meeting with a bunch of other writers and producers, and I realised that I thought I'd framed it quite nicely in front of the bookshelf. You know, I normally frame it in front of the bookshelf for a meeting, so people know that my wife reads.
Lovely.
So. I framed it in front of the bookshelf there, but what I didn't realise was in the corner of the frame, I've still got some bunting hanging up from my birthday, which is some bunting, again, that Charlie made for me, of a variety of little faces hanging with party hats on, but every face is my face.
Lovely.
So I didn't notice
Very
until
lovely.
Somebody else in the Zoom chat texted me to say, Love the bunting, by the way. And I just had to gently, very subtly adjust my laptop on my lap, just ever so slightly, just frame out the bunting.
Get the tapestry in.
We're in lockdown. No one's seeing the inside of the house. You're allowed to have bunting of your own face. As soon as I'm going to have guests around, that's coming back down.
Here's the danger, I think, of choosing a photo of yourself as your background for when you're doing that. Yes. Is it gives people a chance to compare how you fared since the photo was taken. Because, like, I think everyone tends to look amazing on their wedding day or looks like, a really good version of themselves.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
So, if you go for your wedding photo, people are going to be like, bloody hell, he started eating after the wedding. Or he hasn't stopped eating since the wedding. Whatever.
One slice of wedding cake, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the arse.
You're kind of squeezed into your best suit, you've kind of slimmed down for a few weeks, and that's your wedding photo, the sun's shining. And then they're looking at you in your in front of your bunting, and they're like,
You've not been outside for three months.
Yeah, that was the best. He's gone downhill ever since. That's the risk.
Absolutely. That's the other thing as well is if you're putting up a photo of your wedding day, it's very loaded, isn't it? It's very much like the politician.
Sorry, guys, I'm taken.
Read it and weep, baby.
Sorry, guys, I'm married to Joseph Stalin, or at least the idea of him.
But the thing of well, we all are, Tom. No, I think the thing is, it's a bit like when the politician comes out in front of their house with the wife, with the children, to apologise for the sex scandal, isn't it? If you've got a picture of your wedding day up, it's a bit like you're sort of trying overly hard to say, I am an honourable man. I am in a heteronormative married relationship. And it's basically saying I'm straight, even worse,
you go for a photo of your wedding night.
Whoa! Baby.
Yeah, please take those photos down, Tom.
It's just me passed out.
Yeah, that's weird to go into that, but most wedding nights tend to be. So, yes.
Okay, so we're ruling out. So have you got a clock? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a photo either. It could just be an object, you know. That's the thing. Is like, it could just be it could be just something you own that, like, you have there, you know, like, that's going to be like, that's going to project the kind of person you are. I'll tell you what occurred to me the other day. I was having like a clear out of my wardrobes, and I was realizing, like, if I died and someone had to come round my house to kind of clear up my stuff, they'd be going through my clothes. I own so many sporting, like, items. Like, I thought you were going to say
yellow t-shirts, because
I own two types. I have yellow t-shirts.
How many do you reckon
t-shirts.
You've got of those? 50? It's a lot, isn't it?
I recently had a cull, so I'm down to about 25 now. I did like half my yellow t-shirts.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But it's still too many yellow t-shirts.
Yeah.
But then I've got like a whole wardrobe dedicated to sportswear that make it look like I am a sporty person. Like, far more sporty. Like, if someone were to clear up my order, they'd be like, bloody hell, this guy did a lot of sports. But like, I just do a lot of buying of sports stuff.
That this guy likes to be comfortable is basically that's the real reason why you've got a lot of sports kit, isn't it? This guy likes to relax around the house wearing,
I don't know,
do you not?
I'd say that would be if I had 7 bean bags or something.
Yeah, to be fair, you're,
if someone goes, yeah,
he's got his cricket pads, they're not exactly, you know.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm hungover to fuck today. I'm just gonna eat Haagen-Dazs and put my cricket pads on and just watch Sex and the City.
If you pop the box in.
If you couldn't open one of the rooms and be like, God, no, don't worry, that's bean bags in there. Which incidentally is one of those things when you were a kid of like, when I grow up, one of my rooms, all bean bags.
Yeah.
Did you ever have that feeling?
Oh,
bean
I wanted
bags
to have,
felt like the future, right?
I wanted to have a ball pool in a room. I thought, there's no reason why I couldn't have a ball pool. You know, you open a door, dive in, it's a ball pool.
Because we had to wear bean bags and you led with the word ball, I thought you were going to say that when you grew up you wanted a ball bag.
Yeah, all ball bags. Like,
up until what age were you just holding them?
I tell you what, when I grow up, when I'm sort of 30, I want to be swimming in ball bags, baby. I want there to be ball bags as far as the eye can see.
This is why he's got a picture of his wedding up soon.
I tell you what, that's a ball of literally. That's what I said. I'd be like, imagine doing your interview on BBC News, sat in a ball pool. Oh dear, something's gone wrong there. Photo of your wedding day, ball pool. What is this guy? Why is he on the news?
I mean, he looks like he's a lot of fun. One thing we know about him, he's a lot of fun. We bought a ball pool recently. We bought a padding pool and filled it with balls for little Cleo. And
brilliant.
She doesn't love it as much as I do.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I was about to go with that. I was about to say, I don't think ball pools are actually, I find them quite inherently quite stressful experience.
When was the last time you were in a ball pool?
Oh, well,
Well, one of his rooms is a ball pool, of course.
My mum and dad used to live next door to a ball pool, basically, so we were in there all the time.
Right.
I had a lot of ball pool access growing up.
And you've got sort of like, did you have like a kind of, you know, like the kids in the safety adverts in the grain silo? Did you have a situation where you dived into a ball pool, it was deeper than you realised and you disappeared?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like when you're a little kid, that, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to a Go Kids Go, but like, they've got some deep ball pools in there. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you're a kid, I mean, like, when you're a little kid, you get in there and it's like, whoa, 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 that moment when you can't, you've lost. Listener dear, I am acting it out.
It's
you're not going to drown in a ball pool.
Oh, you say that, but, you know, it's a way to go. It's playful quicksand to a child.
Exactly.
It really is.
There you go. It starts.
It's worse than quicksand because it's deceptive. It seems like it's going to be fun, and then suddenly you're sinking under, and the last thing you see is that little kid's hand wave, and then disappears underneath.
Just gone. My kid's going to go into a ball pool with armbands.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's going to pick on them for that. Armbands, rubber ring, in you go.
Pop them on a Lilo, pop them on top of the ball pool, they can just sort of shimmy themselves around.
Well, of course, with you, Tom, they'll have a rubber ring around their neck.
Oh, yeah, of course, that's it. The perfect invention. Scuba gear, in you go, stay safe.
Absolutely. You've got to stay safe in a ball pool.
I've had a good idea, though.
Yes, go on, what?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Show everyone you're a bit of fun. If you win the lottery and you buy a big house, build a moat around your house, but fill it as a ball pool.
Is good, actually.
Ball pool moat. Not bad.
I love almost everything about that, as with all of your ideas. I love it.
However,
up to a point, but the point is a pretty big point. The thing with a moat or any kind of outside water is that it can go stagnant, it can fill up with stuff, you know, when it rains.
Yeah.
With a moat, it doesn't matter if it rains, but with a ball pool, you know, like, leaves are going to get underneath it, you're going to get a fine layer
there's a fox sludge.
There's going to be a fox, and not just a fox, but the fox is taking a shit in your ball pool.
You're going to go...
I'm sorry, mate.
You're going to say, kids,
to be the one to break it to you, but in your hypothetical ball pool, it's lousy with fox shit.
I mean, that's a scene that is going on to the tapestry, isn't it?
It
you wake up,
is.
You jump out your bedroom window into your moat, straight into a family of foxes and their shit.
You know,
that is the last picture of your tapestry, unfortunately.
He died as he lived,
drowning in balls and fox shit. What was the name of that bloke, the Lotto Lout? You know,
yes.
When the newspapers were furious that a member of the working class,
Lauto, I'd have gone with
Lauto,
the tabloids.
The Lauto, yeah. What are they thinking? They're normally quite good on that. They don't get hot on that kind of stuff. But when the Lotto Lout, the member of the working classes, won the lottery, they were furious that, you know, he spent it on whatever, you know, Burberry jackets and pit bulls. But I think the same thing would happen if you won the lottery. You know, not the Lotto Lout, more like the Lotto Twat. You know, that would be the headline.
Twattery.
He's won the twattery. I think that's good, actually. Yeah, Clarkie, I back that. Yeah, guess who's won the twattery? And a big picture of you standing by, and it'll be like a list of, you know, it'll be one of those angry Daily Mail things where the pullout quote will be a list of the things you've bought, and it'll be he commissioned a tapestry of his own, a tapestry of his own life.
He's constantly being followed around by a team of tapestry weavers.
Yep, he bought a bunch of foxes. You're a fool to yourself, mate. You bought the foxes and you said, have at it, foxes.
Yeah, I mean,
have
it's
a
like
dress them up in sportswear. Yeah.
It's like, sure, I've got foxes in my moat, but they're my foxes. Exactly. You know, they keep out the other foxes. Sure, they are foxes and they shit everywhere, but that's my fox shit. you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That you dress them up like the foxes from Foxy Bingo. You let them round the house. They're pissing on everything. Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Basically, it's bad, yeah. He's put a lot of his money into a flotation device for the neck. It's just, you know, it's not...
It's a business that went under, ironically.
Just like he did when he drowned in his own fox shit pool. So, yeah, all I'm saying is, I think, you know, it's you're better off as you are at the moment, you know, because I think with great power comes great responsibility.
Hey, I'm with you. You know, money can't buy your love.
Absolutely, and you've got a lot of love in your life.
But how do I reflect that with what goes behind me when I go on the news?
You can't do wedding day.
I'm not going on the news as a lottery winner.
That's not
why I'm being interviewed.
That's how you start every interview. I'd just like to say I don't want to be interviewed as a man who won £13 million on the lottery. And they go, please. Well, did you win? No, I didn't. That's the reason why I didn't.
But
that's why I don't want to be.
Nor would I want to.
Yeah. Don't Clarkie. Think of me.
But still go with the headline twattery, please.
I want you to interview me, but don't think of me.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That'd be quite a good thing to have as your background, is like a really stern-looking person.
Well, like a Lord Kitchener.
Who like puts their hand on your shoulder every time it seems like you're going to say too much.
So basically you want Crosby behind you.
Guys, I want you both to come with me, basically. That's what I'm saying. There's a reason we do this as a team.
Yeah, so the idea would be, it would be like a little figure. You wouldn't know.
Again, Crosby.
Exactly, yeah.
You
wouldn't realise. It would just be like
a sweet little thing.
I'd be sat in a serving hatch, but you know, because of the depth perception on the television, it would look like I'm just a framed photograph of myself. And then
and then suddenly you come to life.
Actually, he doesn't have to answer that. No more questions about the lottery, right?
So that's what I'd have in my frame, a lawyer.
Yeah.
That would be so cool, though. That would look so cool.
The frame.
Just the painting
lawyer.
That came to life. Or you just grab him and pull him back through the picture.
Like, oh, end of interview.
Yeah.
I spent it all on balls, the end.
And then the aha video for Take On Me happens. I've dragged you into an alternative world that's all drawings. Love it.
Love it.
One of those living statues. Less cool.
Yeah. If you've got the guy who's dressed as Yoda sat on the stick and you can't work out how he's done it.
Is it you?
Again, it's me, yeah.
Just sit on the stick. Yoda sat on a thermometer. I'd say you what, Crosby? I'd say you a quid.
Roof needs new church, it does.
Do or do not do. There is no try.
Roof needs new church. You know when he gets things back to front, it's not like... It's just the words in a sentence, not the actual... Roof, not the actual objects.
Roof needs new church, it does. There's the episode title sorted.
I mean, we've done so many fundraisers for the roof over the years. That's the only good bit of the church.
It's more roof than anything else now. It looks like a teepee.
That is the thing with churches. It's a gazebo. Always a new roof, never a new walls, the poor walls.
Oh, no, yeah. House meeting.
How do they make bread with no wheat in?
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Could you do it? Oh, there we go.
No, go on, go on.
There you go.
You could do a church that's all roof. You know, like a bit like a glass tent.
Yeah. But a glass tent. Yeah. We all know about a glass tent. So, Parry, all right. If it's all roof, how do people get into it?
Sliding doors.
Down the chimney.
Wait, but where are the sliding doors? On the side of the roof?
No, they watch the film Sliding Doors, and then we give them a quiz.
At one key point in his life, the person in Sliding Doors splits in two. One of them makes a church all out of roof, and one of them makes a church all out of wall.
Both of them end up on the news.
And then they pull each other into a photograph.
Oh, man, we just created a weird film.
Yeah, we have.
You know, you can have a hatch. You can have a hatch on a roof. Don't mind it.
You can have a hatch on a roof.
Don't mind it.
I think it's like an A-frame house. You know?
Here we
it's
go. Kind of like, come on. You know. Yeah. And that way then, people can look in.
You know churches have windows and church roofs traditionally don't.
Is there a reason why we don't all have glass roofs on our houses? Because like that'd be cool, right? You know, like cars that have sun. You know,
well, they would smash all the time, wouldn't they?
They'd be broken
all the time, wouldn't they?
I had a skylight.
Strong enough glass. Big glass.
I had a skylight in one of the... In fact, I've had skylights in two flats.
Thomas suggested... it's not often used as a scientific term, but Tom suggested big glass. So actually, I do stand corrected there. Sorry, yeah. If they use big glass, of course. Sorry, Clarkie, to interrupt you, but I thought it was important that we just in case any of the listeners missed that, in case anyone's thinking, oh, would it break? No, it wouldn't, because we are using big glass. Anyway, sorry, back on we go.
You know, big pharma, big drugs. Let's get big glass involved, okay?
Look, leave the pharma out of it, okay? He's a good man.
He's just on the large side, it's
the green giant, isn't it?
It's not his fault he decided to build an entire farmhouse out of glass.
Protect it with a moat made of balls.
Sorry, Clarky, what were you saying? We interrupted you there.
Yeah, I've had a couple of skylights, so they get very grubby.
Yeah.
They do with what you do underneath.
They steam up a lot, you know what I'm saying?
No, that's true, actually.
That's a grubby skylight.
Why do you want a glass roof? Is it, what do you think you're going to...
Light. The sky. Think about it.
Hard to insulate as well.
Going to bed under the stars. Come on.
Well, only hard to insulate if you're using small glass.
Yes, that's a very, very good point.
We've got big glass.
Of course, big glass is self-insulating.
It's 2020. You're telling me we can't have a warm glass roof? Yes, please. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, it's 2020. The glass ceiling, will it get broken finally?
The worst bit about living in the house with you, Parry, is the morning you decide to go up on the warm glass roof and have a sunbathe. No one wants to be there. Trying to eat
big
their cereal.
Pancakes for breakfast, anyone?
Oh, why did he have to build a bungalow all over? Look at this.
This is the worst church in the district. Don't raise your eyes to the Lord.
We're actually now...
He's perched on top of Crosby.
We're now trying to raise enough money to destroy the church roof. Please give generously.
Please throw stones.
So you'd like to live in a greenhouse.
I just think that if everyone gets very, very hot in there.
Yeah.
Everyone takes a big step backwards for a second and reevaluates the way shit's gone down. Then I think we go glass roofs, soft cars. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just like
wait.
Shit that doesn't get. Wait, you know what I mean?
Soft cars.
Yeah.
Why do you
soft
want
a, cars?
Why do you want a
glass
soft,
roofs?
Why do you want a soft car?
It just it makes a shitload of sense, doesn't it? At what point did, like, you think about it, you're driving around in cars, people lose their mind when you get bumped up against each other. It's like, oh no, you've scratched my car. It's like, why is it scratchable? Why isn't it soft? You know, like old Mr. Soft, old Mr. Soft.
It's like, yeah, he was a man made out of tree bore mints. Right. Yes. So I'm going to, okay, so I'm going to say, Tom. So you're driving along again. Okay, again.
Soft car.
In your soft car, going, I can't wait to get back to my big glass house. Yeah, and
great.
And suddenly it starts to rain. You think, oh, brilliant. I can't wait to watch the rainstorm from my big glass roof.
Rainstorms.
Yeah. I'll lie on my roof and I'll watch the rain coming down. It'll be glorious. I'll play some sad music and I'll have a wonderful time. But
Leonard Cohen.
As you're doing exactly, you're going to play Suzanne, you're going to have a wonderful time. And then as soon as the first few drops start to hit your car, the car starts to dissolve. Now you're on the motorway, mate. Okay. You're currently doing 70, right?
Tom, can you tell me why the world in which you're living is so strange?
Okay, listen. It's not a mint car. It's a soft car.
You said it's like Mr.
Soft. What's it made out of?
Padding. Like? You know, like, I hate to go back to my ball pool days, but look, when you jump in a ball pool, right?
Oh, mate, you can have a rancid car. You can have a car as rancid as your fucking ball pool boat, mate.
My car's pretty rancid.
I tell you what's soft, mate. Fox shit. Why don't you make yourself a nice fox shit car, drive around to your greenhouse that you live in down the back of someone's garden like Abs from Five.
Oh, here he comes. His car, which is essentially a sponge full of...
A rotten sponge.
Something could be soft and waterproof.
Okay, so...
It doesn't have to be metal. Like, it can be like a big old... cushiony boy, and it's like
a cushion is not
nudges,
waterproof.
If it nudges
a cushion
against
isn't waterproof,
you,
mate.
Here's a
so
word
it's
for
like
you.
A tent.
Ever heard of rubber? Don't mind it. Anyone built a rubber car these days? Barry's blowing minds.
No, bits of a car are rubber. They must have thought
but the
how
wrong
much of this.
Bits?
How much? What, the tyres?
Well, the bumpers.
So what are you saying? Oh, I'll have metal tyres.
Metal wheels. They won't wear out.
Mint chassis and metal wheels.
The second you leave the forecourt, the sparks are going to hit your car. It's going to melt around you. It's going to be like fucking House of Wax. You're going to be sealed into a scuba diver's kit. You can't leave.
I'll tell you what though, Tom, to be fair, your car looks mint, mate.
He's been waiting for that. That's been a couple of minutes coming.
I think your car looks rubberish.
And it's okay.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? It's not
it's
great.
It's not strong.
It's a bit of a fox turd car, that one. It really is. But it went by so fast you hardly noticed it. Just the lingering smell.
The old fox turd moat.
Fox turd motor.
That's what I'm going to have behind me on the news is a picture of my rubber car.
It's a picture of you.
Someone must have tried to make a soft car at some point. Yeah. Like, look, you know,
one of those like weird fetish people who you know,
like a furry car with a tail on.
No. Like people who are into. No, I mean, I say weird. Sorry, I shouldn't kink shame. That's very poor form of me. But you know, the kind of people that sort of get themselves into rubber outfits and like inflate bits of it and you know that kind of thing. I bet those kind of people have built themselves a small rubber car to jerk off in.
I don't know why it has to be porno to have a soft car.
Rubber's porno, man.
All it means is you nudge up against each other and it's like it's no bother.
Oh, hello.
Nudging the rubber. You use the phrase nudge the rubber.
Oh, you're just
nudging rubbers against each other.
You're just getting your latex cars and you just rub up against each other.
Don't make this all David Cronenberg. I'm making it road safety.
You don't park in a car park late at night, right?
This is Green Cross Code. It's not 50 Shades. It's Green Cross Code.
In your soft car and then everyone can just climb on top of it and fuck.
See, this is...
It's a lovely bouncy car to fuck on top of, but it's a terrible car to drive down the motorway on.
This feels like 70s America and you're like the waspish guys being like, no, we need to protect our petrol and our oil and our metal. And I'm coming along and I'm saying, soft cars, bro. Glass roofs, yo. And then we all fuck each other. And you guys are like, ugh, suddenly I'm a pervert.
Yeah, you are a pervert. You're trying to get me into your rubber car so you can have your way with me. I don't want it. Thank you very much.
Because you're a married man with your... Yeah, we've all seen the photo.
That's not the main reason,
mate.
But yes, that is one of the key reasons, yeah.
We've seen your wedding photo. And the weird thing about that is both of the people in that photo have got your faces on them. It's weird, mate. It's weird.
Listen, the fact that I made a rubber mask for my wife to wear on our wedding day and the fact I made another rubber mask of my own face that I also wore so no one knew which one was which.
The Mission Impossible wedding. Ving Rhames was there.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's all right. If you see Ving knocking about, you know, it's all right.
I'd love to have Ving Rhames at my wedding.
Yeah, it would have been good, wouldn't it?
Imagine people being like, is that Ving Rhames at the bar? And you'd be like, yeah, he's come along.
Yeah.
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
He's come along, all right. Yeah, and do you know what? Yeah. He's actually, you're not going to believe how he got here. He got here in a car made entirely out of rubber.
He's the face of soft cars for me.
Can I ask you?
I tell you what, guys, that's going on the tapestry. That is.
Oh, Ving Rhames at the wedding.
Ving Rhames at the wedding. Oh, baby.
Ving at the wedding.
Like, in terms of celebrity endorsement, you know, like what's going to push this product past cynical mid America? Ving Rhames would do it.
I tell you what, you could have the exchanging of the rings and the arriving of the Vings. Two different. You see that because you look. You know when you go to a wedding and you're looking at the order of service and you're thinking, how fucking long is this going to take? You go, what are the good bits? Getting to sing a song, that's always a bit of fun. You know, maybe the readings. You know, someone's going to do a nice reading. But if you know Ving Rhames is going to show up, then you go.
I mean, I've got a great idea for a business. It's called Wedding Vings,
and
we hire out Ving Rhames and other people called Ving to weddings. Did you read the small print there? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Did I get away with it?
No.
We offer the services of Ving Rhames or other people called Ving to your wedding for a price. We cannot state who you will get, but they'll arrive on the day. Could be Ving Rhames, could be someone else called Ving, but they will be there.
All
for
we're
a
saying
price.
Is Clarkey is going to be changing his name to Ving.
Is that why he's on the news?
Yeah. I tell you what, though, there's a nice ring to Ving Crosby.
Yeah, there is actually. I wonder why.
I don't know what it is. Ving Crosby really works. But yes, that's our business. So if you want in, you know, PO box as always.
So I'm not going to have to win the twattery to buy my moat. That's what I wanted to say to you guys. I'm no Lotto Lauto. I'm an entrepreneur. I've got my glass roofs. I've got my soft cars. I've got my wedding things. That fox shit baby is going to buy itself.
You're going to buy a fox shit baby?
My favourite Muse album. Clarkie, what have you got behind you when you go on the news? Come on. Give it a good old British go.
No, it's tricky. Like,
a picture of Tricky, trip-hop guy. You're a big trip hop fan, aren't you? I know you've got a bit.
Oh, of course.
The
viewer can't see this, but Clarkie has actually got a giant poster of the album Portishead, Dummy by Portishead. He's got it behind him. He loves that whole Bristol trip hop scene. He loves that Max and Quay album. Who doesn't?
Of course.
So, yes, go on.
Well, I don't know. Like, at the moment when I do. Zoom calls that aren't these.
Yes.
I'm in my sitting room on my coffee table.
Well, hang on, you do all the Zoom calls?
I know, yeah.
Bloody hell.
But it's not the exact same, it's just a bunch of other podcasts. But
you do it with bunting with my face behind you, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a little reminder.
Of course.
Solidarity, brother.
I've got bookshelves, classic.
Yeah.
But they're not particularly good ones. Like, they're not full of good literary works. They're mostly full of, like, joke books that I got bought as unwanted Christmas presents.
Sure. It'd be quite funny to take all the books off and just have a book that's, like, a good... You know what I mean? Like,
or just all the same book.
Yeah, there you go. You buy, like, 82 copies of, I don't know, like, Alan Sugar's autobiography or something.
I mean, that's, again, very loaded, isn't it? You know, it's very loaded to say, I'm just going to have copies of Alan. It makes it seem like you're like, I'm a pretty good businessman, guys. I'm really...
let me talk to you about soft cars. Okay? You're hired.
He moved from software to soft cars. It was a lateral move for Lord Sugar.
House meeting. What would you say to Roman Keith?
House meeting.
Probably nothing at all.
I was going to ask you a question about rubber cars before we get to Clarkie's answer about his bookshelf.
Please do.
So you say, like,
you can interview me, but please don't think about me.
I rarely do, Parry. So say you're driving along in your soft car and you bump up against another soft car.
Okay? Oh yeah.
Now, ooh, you're...
It's fine.
It's rubber.
No one's getting out of the car. No one's exchanging details. Just a little nod and a wink.
No, they're fused into it because it's a hot day.
No, but where are you going?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, off we go.
So they...
You drive. I don't need to.
You know, if you take a typical rubber that you or I might use, the eraser.
Oh yeah, okay, ripped.
Not that. No, no.
Let's not play blue.
We've managed this far without saying anything disgusting. So let's keep this a family episode. If you use an eraser, eventually it wears away. Okay, it rubs down. So this is going to be the same thing. If you get enough prangs in your car, eventually your car is going to be worn down to nothing. You're going to wake up one morning and think, oh, I haven't got a front to my car anymore. You're going to be driving, facing the elements.
Yeah, but eventually, right? So then you go online, you click and you order a new rubber front bit, please. And like there's loads of little panels. So you go, I need panel 67, please. And they send it in. You click it out, you click it in. Good as new.
And what's the...
Yeah, but that's kind of like saying that's what you could do with a metal one.
Yeah, but your rubber's not going to... It's not going to happen like it happens with metal. You're not going to get scratches or dents.
Is rubber...
What's rubber? Rubber, baby.
Is rubber... Is solid rubber... Is that not very expensive? Yeah.
Big rubber we're dealing with.
With big rubber.
I should have said that.
Is the window big glass as well? Are the windows big glass?
Well, probably. Yeah. I mean,
it might create a false image of how far the car in front of you is away.
If you say, well, it's not a magnifying glass.
Yeah, big glass tends to magnify, doesn't it?
It's all roof apart from the rubber.
Hang on. If big glass does magnify, then we've got an issue here because once the sun's above my house.
Yeah,
that's gonna burn.
Although at least you will be impressing your neighbours.
That guy
looks like a big farmer. Him,
that guy's boy is absolutely massive. Unfortunately, it's on fire.
Sorry, Clarky. Once again, I interrupted you and didn't let you tell us what you were going to put on your bookshelf.
No, yeah. Not at all.
Because Crosby's going for a wedding photo of him getting married to himself.
Yeah. I was going to go for a photo of me. Russell Brand on the news. But yeah, also a photo of me marrying myself.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. Me shaking hands with myself.
Me and Ving Rams. I'm shaking hands with Ving Rams. Yeah. You're shaking hands with yourself.
Yes.
Which is ironically, you're living my dream.
Yeah, exactly. your two dreams, to be on the news. I know you've always wanted it.
It's
only a matter of time.
To be on the news, to shake hands with yourself, and your third dream, to not be thought about.
Yes,
living
the
all
the
of
big
us.
Three, the big three.
You got the third. Mate.
Yeah.
So no, mine's going to be Ving Rams dressed as my lawyer, as if he's a painting, and then he's going to come forward at the end and say no for the questions. we've cracked that. Yeah,
of course. Clarky.
So Clarky, what are you going to proffer?
I think I'm going to go with a wall of photographs that are all Alan Sugar.
Lovely.
Yes, really, really good. Really, really good.
Really show off my business nous.
Bit of a kick in the stones for any diabetics watching, but sure.
Would it be funny if you had one? If you had like, sorry, Crosby. I'm not.
No. Always nice. Always nice to be shivved. Always nice to be. You know, keeps you humble, doesn't it? Keeps you
a vocal shivving.
The vocal shivving. It's always it keeps you humble because you think, you know, I'm having a good show. This one actually. I feel like I'm having a good show. You know, it's been a nice bit of back and forth, nice bit of badinage. Sure, I interrupted Clarky quite a few times, but I apologise both times. So I'm learning, and then I do my Alan Sugar joke, and
Listen, mate, your diabetic humour might work on your other podcast, but on this one,
forgotten where I was actually. Yeah, very very good point.
What about if it's loads of pictures of Alan Sugar, but one of them is you dressed as Alan Sugar, just to keep it interesting for people?
Oh, yes. I like that. Or is it like a wall of photos where it's like Alan Sugar top left, me bottom right, and they gradually kind of morph as it goes along?
And then by the end of the interview, it's Alan Sugar giving the interview and not you.
Yes.
You like Darren Brown it. You like, go, oh, I've just dropped my pen. You go down and then Alan Sugar comes up and goes, no further questions, Your Honour.
Oh,
and then leaves.
That's really good.
His famous catchphrase.
Well, that's what Ving Rams is going to say at the end of my interview. So I think we all need to end our interview with
no Ving Rams at the end of your interview says you're fired.
Oh, yeah. Wedding Things is losing money hand over fist, mate. I'm sacking you.
And I, of course, say, this is going on the tapestry. Shake hands with myself. No, I tell you what would be good, right? Now, here's how you do it, right? So when they cut to you, Clarky, right? They cut to you, and it's the typical scene we all know now from watching the news of the person in their flat doing the Zoom chat. You're sat there in front of your microphone, you've got your headphones in, but what people don't realise is that it is a cardboard cutout of you, right? Whoa. They can't tell, again, because of the depth perception.
Big cardboard.
It's got to be big cardboard. If it's going to be anything. If it's going to be anything, Parry, thank you. It's got to be big cardboard. And then there's a framed photo of Alan Sugar behind you. They say, okay, so we go over to Ben Clark now. Ben, can you hear us? Nothing. Okay, they assume it's a satellite delay. Sorry, having a bit of difficulty there getting Mr. Clark there. Ben, are you there? And then out of the photo, you appear, because it's you dressed as Alan Sugar in the photo. You say no further questions. You switch the Zoom off.
Bosh, that's, the end.
That's going to be an amazing moment. That's going to be an amazing moment.
Is it going to be even more amazing if just before he switches the Zoom off, he pulls a rubber mask off, he's Ving Rhames, and he says, "Bye, Crosby's Bunting."
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I think if we're looking to blow people's minds in a Guy Gomer fashion, I think we found it.
House meeting.
I live in a house made of iron sheeting.
House meeting.
Well, there you go. Much ground covered. Ideas are plenty there.
Yes.
Surely one's got to stick.
Yeah.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? I mean, you throw enough shit at a podcast, something's got to.
We have.
We really have.
You throw enough fox shit into a ball pool and something's going to go off. please, if you enjoyed the podcast, feel free to leave a review on iTunes or just recommend it to a friend if you think it's something that they'd enjoy.
Definitely.
Please join us on the Patreon. As we said, for $5, you get a ton more content. We're always jabbering away. So please.
That's you know what? I couldn't have put it better myself. We are constantly jabbering away, Tom. And not only that, but recording it and putting it out.
Absolutely, shamelessly so. We've got a live recording tomorrow night, as we said at the top, so please do get tickets. Go to our Twitter to find details for that. Otherwise, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please be upstanding for this week's Neighbourhood Watch Patreon roll call? Oh, on the seventh day, the evening of our Lord, he turned around and he had turned into a hamster and he was hurting.
Oh no.
Here endeth the lesson as taught by Matthew Hamster Burton.
Oh, on the seventh day, she turned around and she flicked the light switch and everything went dark. Oh. Here endeth the lesson of Sophie Clark.
God bless her soul.
God bless her soul.
On the eighth day.
Oh, Monday.
On the eighth day, of course.
On the eighth day, of course, it was a Monday. Our good friend flew into a rage.
Oh, no.
Of course she did. That's classic Sarah Gage.
Oh, please forgive her.
Please forgive her for her rage.
On the 13th day. He took a big shit on the carpet and started telling us about his fears.
Oh. One of my fears is someone shitting on my carpet, so it was a real lose-lose situation for both of us.
Why does he always have to stay till the end of the house party? It's Gareth Steers.
On the 317th day.
Oh, I believe it is a Wednesday.
Oh. it was a Wednesday. Yes, you remember correctly. Yes. He was watching an old episode of Blue Peter.
Oh, no.
I think it was one that starred Valerie Singleton.
It's a lovely reference.
It's a gorgeous reference.
A beautiful and one, reference.
And one that all the teenagers will enjoy. Yes, yes, it's right. Well. The person watching Valerie Singleton was, of course, Michael Ingleton. Here endeth the lesson.
Here endeth the lesson.
Don't you know?
Watching all Blue Peter
probably
references.
Don't go back into that lesson. Now it's endeth thither. On the 5,000th day.
On the 5,000th day. It was a Tuesday.
Saturday.
Yeah, sorry. It was a leap year. Right.
It was a Saturday, I think.
Saturday.
Leap year.
Our good friend was doing a...
What was he doing? He can't be doing it
because that would rhyme.
No, he can't.
Our good friend, of course, is a drama.
He's a drama.
Thank God you went for that.
Drama. Also down with the kids. But of course, it's Andrew
Here endeth the drum solo. Oh no, on the first day.
Oh no,
this man burst in and took a piss on the carpet.
Oh, right next to the shit.
And then he named all of his bones. It was a truly upsetting affair. He said, this is my clavicle. Its name's Joshua. You know who was doing... Oh, and this here's my knee bone. Its name is Louis Jones.
Oh, there ended the lesson.
Oh,
here begins another lesson. On the 3 millionth day. I think it was Thursday.
Wednesday. Oh, no, Thursday. You're right.
Thursday,
it was
of course,
year.
It was a Thursday.
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course you can.
Between this lesson and the last lesson, did we have break time?
We did. I had some milk because I'm the monitor.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
So please, anytime. It's always important. If you have a question, remember there are no such thing as bad questions.
Have you got double science on Friday? What an absolute bummer.
I know. And I'm going to be having it with Andrew Plummer. Double with Andrew Plummer.
The now, drummer.
The drummer, Andrew Plummer, who's also the double science teacher. Oh, yeah. He also teaches philosophy. He teaches Nietzsche. Oh, Andrew Plummer, you've had enough. He's only a $5 patron as well. He's really getting some extra treatment.
It's the last week of term. Can we watch a film? Let's put on Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, this fellow.
Oh, yes.
He was in Double Maths.
Oh, no, not Double Maths. What a wounder.
What a wounder, yes. He turned off the light. He turned them back on again. Then he turned around. Then he named all of his shoes.
What's that taking?
He said, this is a Dunlop Green Flash. And yes. I call this one Gregory.
Gregory, the Dunlop Green Flash.
This is a Brogue and I call it Sharon. And this is an Espadrille that I call Jimmy. He named all of his shoes. His name was Rory Hughes.
The lesson of the boy who named his shoes.
His crocodile shoes. Crocodile shoes.
They're called Jimmy.
It was called Jimmy. That's why I thought of it.
Just got time for one more lesson.
Oh, one more lesson.
Here open the lesson.
Here open the lesson.
Here open the lesson.
The pronunciation lesson hath commenced.
This man had a bit of a lisp.
Chris Eubank is taking this lesson.
This guy has bought us all a lovely gift. Thank you very much. I hope you named them all. It was Matthew Smith.
And you know what, reader? He did name them all. Here endeth the lesson.
Crocodile shoes.
Well, go in faith to love and serve your shoes and name your bones and have a good time.
I don't
Please
want nobody
don't.
Else.
She's, a piss on our
She's
floor.
Lying. I don't need nobody else.
And it's true.
And it's true. She's lying.
Why does she pretend?
Ain't no doubt it's plain to see.
Well,
woman like you, no good for me.
Well, that's the Jimmy Nail in this lesson.
The Jimmy Nail in this coffin.
That concludes this week's Neighborhood Watch patron roll call. Alfida Sane, everyone.
pet.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.